Our reading this morning is from John chapter 3, verse 16 to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's only begotten Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives in the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Amen.
This is a very familiar passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. I suppose with Psalm 23, it's two of the most popular passages in the whole of the Bible. And most Christians would probably say, this is one of my favourite verses. I've been drawn to this particular section on this verse for a number of reasons. I've been drawn to it, but also when I saw this display at the beginning of the Christmas season set up by Katie and Geraint, I thought, this is it. This is the theme I must take at the end of the year. The idea was for our benefit and also for the school's benefit. Unfortunately, the rain rained so hard, the children stayed in school and the services were conducted there, so they missed out on this. But it seems so appropriate at this time of the year to speak about the God who so loved the world. And this is the world represented here by this globe, with all the people involved in it. And here is where the baby Jesus lay. God so loved the world. I'd like to place emphasis on the word so, if you like. It may seem pedantic to do so, but in my quiet times, I often think how amazing it is that the God who made this universe, the God who made the planets, the God who made the sun and the moon and the stars, the God who made the cattle on a thousand fields, the God who made the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, the great and mighty God, so love the world of men and women. Isn't that amazing? That such a mighty God, so mighty a God, so powerful a God, so holy a God, God so loved the world. God so loved you and me. God so loved the people of the world. It is so amazing. And day by day when I come before the Lord, I just marvel at the fact of this great and mighty God is concerned for each one of us as individuals, not only here, but right across this globe set in front of you. God so loved the world. And he so loved the world that he gave his only Son. When God gave his only Son, he gave his Son Jesus Christ to come and live upon this earth, to have 3 years of amazing ministry, and at the end of that time of ministry, to be led to a cross, to be crucified in the most cruel form of punishment that could possibly be imagined. He was hanged upon a cross and the nails pierced his hands. But God so loved the world that he gave his only Son to die for us, to make possible the forgiveness of our sins, to make possible our inclusion in his kingdom, to make possible our hope for eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There has to be a response from us. God so loved the world. God gave his only Son. But there is a need for each one of us to respond in our hearts by faith and to put our trust in Jesus Christ. And there has to come a point in our lives where we need to take that step and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm sure that most of us here will have taken that step many, many years ago. But for the sake of inclusion, I want to say how important it is to take that personal step of faith and putting your trust in Jesus Christ. How important it is, because when we believe, we shall not perish, but have hope of life eternal. I was brought up in South Manchester, and I was taken to a Sunday school in a small Methodist church. Like most children first going to Sunday school, I really didn't know anything about it and found it slightly boring. But I went because my mother took me. And for many years as a child, I simply went along with it. That was the thing to do in those days. It was a small church. They didn't have many teenagers. And I didn't really have any personal faith at that stage. But then at the age of 17 plus, I went to university in Durham University. And I made my way to a Christian Union. And there in the context of a Christian Union, for the very first time I realized that I needed to make a personal response. And at that stage I became a Christian. I came to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's important for us to realize how important it is to take that first step. In fact, the Bible in this little passage makes it very plain that whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned. In other words, without that personal faith, you're out of it. You have no hope. You have no life. You have no plans for the future in God's purposes and plans. But thanks be to God, I took that step of faith as a young man of 17 plus and had the Holy Spirit come into my life to give me an assurance of that faith. And I benefited in those days from wonderful Bible teaching, so much so that I grew to love these scriptures and became eventually to become a pastor and to love to take God's word and to explain it and expound it and bring it home to the hearts and minds of many people. But I want just to pause for a moment on this matter of faith. God's love does require a personal response. You can't just go along with it all your life. There has to be that personal inner response of faith in order to be included in God's kingdom, in order to have a life that is full of purpose, in order to have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life means life here and now, in fellowship with God and having a purpose and guidance for our living. And it means life in eternity, that when the time comes for us to die, and we all must die, when the time comes for us to die, we shall be accepted into the eternal kingdom. I've got old these days. Do you know the feeling? I've got old. But I'm looking forward to that time when God calls me into his eternal kingdom. And to be in that kingdom where all is well, where there are no wars, where there's no knife crime, where there's no scamming of people's money, where there's no civil wars or persecution. I'm looking forward to it. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It may be that someone here has not just quite taken that step of faith. And if you'd like to come to me afterwards, I'd love to show you the initial steps necessary to take those first few steps. The passage in John 3 goes on to say, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. God's light has come into the world. God so loved the world, and the light of Jesus Christ and the power of his Spirit are moving across the world. But the world is in darkness. Look across the world today. See how much evil there is, how much darkness, how much persecution, how much suffering in this world, in our country, how little faith, how terrible is our situation as a nation, how concerned we are about the way our nation is going, downhill all the way. Light has come into the world and darkness, but darkness is still around because men love the darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. If you like evil, if you enjoy doing bad things, you don't want the light. And that's our world today. But God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him could be delivered from this dark and evil world, and God's light can come into their hearts and into the hearts of those we love. Verse 21 is interesting. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. The light of Jesus Christ has come into the world through Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit, God's light is shining in the world. But the world is in darkness. But God calls us, his disciples, his followers, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, to be light in a dark world. Isn't that what we're here for? To be light in a dark world. Wherever we are, whether by personal word of testimony to people, telling people what it's like to become a Christian, helping them to take those first steps. Whether it's involved in church activities which draw people in from the community, like coffee morning or seniors lunch or messy church, whatever it may be. Whether it is going to the furthest corners of the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are light. And as we approach this new year, 2020, we are to be light in a dark world. God so loved the world and he gave his only son who was born 2,000 years ago. But God wants us to be light in a dark world. He wants us as a fellowship to be light in our community. He wants us as believers so to shine brightly that people might be attracted to us and attracted to Jesus Christ and drawn into the kingdom of God and to inherit eternal life, which is God's plan and God's desire for every single person. You and I are the light of the world, and as we step into 2020, we are to continue to be that bright light, naming the name of Christ, thankful for what he's done, and shining brightly wherever we go with the light of Jesus Christ in our heart. Is that what you want? Do you want to be the light wherever you go? Do you want to shine brightly in this coming year? May we see it on your faces, that we may shine with the brightness of the light of Jesus Christ. And whatever our age, whether young or old, we may shine in our neighborhoods and shine in all that we do, that we might glorify God and make possible the extension of his kingdom, both here and through every part of God's world. That's what I want to say this morning. And we're going in a moment to sing a lovely song to conclude our worship. And I want to say to you, if anyone here perhaps does want to make that first step of putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I or other people will be available. Or if you have any other needs of body or mind or spirit, there will be those who would love to pray with you at the conclusion of this service. So a brief prayer, and then we'll join in our final song. Our Father, we thank you for that great love that you have for this world, that you so love the world that you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, that we might have life both here and in eternity. And we pray that you will pour out your Spirit upon us as individuals and as a fellowship, that we may be light in our community, light to our neighbours, and the light of Jesus Christ to our friends and family. Pour out your Spirit upon us, that we may fulfil your hopes and plans for us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.